Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show live on 105.7 FM, the Fan Live Radio. You can't make some of the stuff up that happens on this show, especially when you got two former Packers, the only show in the city with two of them. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, doing Bucks postgame shows on this station for what, a decade now? This show for a decade?
Back on the air tomorrow night, pick and save Pro Hoops postgame show after the Bucks in Orlando take on the Magic. We had Magic GM John Hammond on earlier in the show to lead off the show in the 2 o'clock hour. Go to Fan On Demand at 1057FM.com in order to hear that. John Paul's Buick's Fan On Demand.
And, two, when we discuss the Milwaukee Bucks, I think ultimately we just want to have the kind of stability that the Green Bay Packers have had for so long. We just talked to Josh Vernier, old Wendy's Big Show host. Now he hosts down at 610 Sports in Kansas City. And he joked about the kind of confidence that Packer fans would exude this time of year and just planning on winning the game, planning on going to a Super Bowl. And Matt LaFleur, the 15th head coach, is trying to reinstill that thought process and that kind of mentality into the Green Bay Packer locker room and the entire organization at 1265. Matt LaFleur, hired a couple of weeks ago, had an interview on ESPN Radio yesterday, Sparky, and Rob Domofsky had some quotes earlier today. They make it official that they've hired assistant offensive line coach Adam Stenovich from the 49ers. He's going to join LaFleur's staff with Nathaniel Hackett. Hackett going to be the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator, it appears, with Matt LaFleur. And then Stenovich will take over James Campen's job, who he left for the Cleveland Browns. But Matt LaFleur discussing just what he wants to do with his offense on ESPN Radio earlier on today. And the quotes, well, Aaron Rodgers might not be as happy as possible. Quote, "I think anytime you take as much off of the quarterback as possible, that only helps them out in the long run. Certainly Aaron's got incredible talent, and we're going to definitely showcase that. But I just think on your early downs, the more that you can stay balanced and keep the offense or the defense off balance, keep them guessing whether you're going to run the ball or pass the ball, I think it opens up more opportunities for big plays down the field. And then when you get into known passing situations, whether that's a third down or a two-minute drill, then you've got the guy that can go and get you a play. I'm certainly excited because we're talking about one of the greatest ever, and his talent speaks for himself. But Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett, long established times in their short careers as being known of guys that want to run the football and be very, very good at in their last couple of jobs, Tennessee and Jacksonville.
I love this philosophy. Big fan. Love it. Which means the quarterback won't. I see visions of, you know, Jamal Williams and my God, I'm blanking. Who's the other?
Aaron Jones.
My God, jeez. Aaron Jones. Those two guys being similar to D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart and stuff like that, but to a bigger degree. As far as, you know, how they use Aaron Jones out of the backfield. Maybe more like the duo in Atlanta. Maybe that's a better comparison than the duo in Carolina. Or what was the duo in Carolina? D'Angelo Williams, now a professional wrestler in Impact Wrestling. That dude's unbelievable.
Really good.
I like it. But the one thing I get worried about, and I think it happened a little bit in Tennessee, if you do some reading up on this whole thing, it seems like Tennessee got very predictable running early in downs. And it was kind of to their detriment a little bit that he got started. Now, again, just because you're running doesn't mean they know where you're running or what protection you're using or anything like that, but it seems like it got a little predictable. I just wonder how much Aaron Rodgers is going to buy into this running early and often, especially if he stays with it for four quarters. You know, McCarthy would run early, and then that would be it.
And then
you wouldn't see it again unless they were up in the fourth quarter, and that would be the end of the run game. So if Rodgers is really being truthful about, oh, I want more Aaron Jones. Okay, well, this dude apparently is going to give you more Aaron Jones. And the other guy, Hackett, is coming from Jacksonville where they had a stud running back in Leonard Fournette. So he also has been running the football down there to a certain degree, even though Fournette can't stay healthy. But, I mean, you had both of these guys, and it's going to be the zone blocking scheme that comes along with it. That's why they just hired this offensive line coach, was because he's one of those Shanahan zone blocking scheme type guys. So for me, I love it. Like, I'm a big fan of what they're talking about doing on offense. I'm just not sold that Aaron Rodgers is going to buy into this philosophy after the first couple of weeks if they're running and they're not going very far, and he's going to want to possibly bail if they're not having very much success, Gary.
So Steve is clearly a black and white guy.
Mm-hmm. Whole life.
In his life.
And down the middle, take a side.
He's going to freak out when it doesn't go according to what this guy said. And it's not going to go that way. It never does.
This is coming from a guy that used to run the football.
Yeah, it never does. I mean, the only way truly that can work, unless you're in a heavy run type situation offensively on first down and you become predictable. So by formation, that you in a heavy run formation, double tight, one wide out, you know, you can't do full back.
Stick in 121 personnel and run the way.
You can't do anything else.
To Steve's point, they were the highest percentage of teams running on first down in Tennessee last year.
So that's the only way you can do that. But what you're saying now is, so now they're going to load the box up because they know it's coming. What had been the staple in the Packers' offense is that Rodgers was able to audible out of that and get into a pass play when you're stacking the offensive line. I still think that's going to be in place.
So you're not thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to buy into all of this?
That's not happening. I mean, that's the new NFL. I mean, if he's McVay, if he's Nagy,
sure,
if he's those guys, I mean, I think you had conceptually, is that a word?
Yes. Good one.
I think conceptually you want to have a plan about what you want to do or how you want to go about running your offense, but you just can't be stuck in that.
And some
just don't think you can just – do I think Rodgers need to be reined back a little bit? Yes, I do. But I think you got to find a happy medium where you just cannot take the football out of Rodgers' hand.
Where you understand the talent that you have on the football field.
Yeah.
And Matt LaFleur last year in Tennessee was dealing with Derrick
Henry.
Now,
if you're telling me, and I'm going to get you Derrick Henry, if you're telling me that Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones are your best players on offense, yeah, then let's line up and run it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Aaron Rodgers is your best player on offense, then you have to figure out how to throw it. I mean, you're in a tough situation.
Weren't you asking to run the football more for like the last several years?
Yeah, but there's more than one way you can get.
So now you want him to throw it as much as he's been throwing it?
That's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you is there's more than one way you can do that. I mean, James White just caught 15 balls the other day. They were all in the flat.
Yep. How often is Rodgers throwing the
football? Had over 100 yards on those catches in the first
half.
They're
all just there. I mean, so you can do. So what you're doing with Aaron Jones is, I don't know if you can just line. Reason why you can do that in Tennessee, because really Henry was probably your best.
He was your best player.
He was your best player.
You were dealing with a bum,
right?
Marcus Mariota and
right.
Blaine Gabbert.
Henry was your best player, so you can do that in Tennessee. But I don't know if you can take those same things that you had in Tennessee and equate them to Green Bay.
You look at both offenses that these guys came from, LaFleur in Tennessee, Derrick Henry, and Deion Lewis was no slouch either.
Yeah, he was
quick dude that you can dump the ball out to on the outside, and he can get out and run with it.
Right.
In Jacksonville, they had the big power dude in Fournette who had over 1,000 yards his rookie year. Ultimately, probably helps get Nathaniel Hackett fired by all the stuff that went on this year. But then they also have the speed dude in T.J. Yeldon that they can get the ball out to quickly and move around. The pieces might be in place here, but Leroy, the question is number 12 going to allow it to continue to run?
I think the conversation that they've had cleaned all that up. There's no gray area. There will be no daylight between him, his office coordinator, and the head coach. They're going to all be together on this because I think it'll be easier to do that. You have to go back when Mike McCarthy came in with this kind of version of a West Coast-style offense, two-back system. And I remember me and Gary did a kind of an interview with him on the sideline. We asked him what was his, you know, is this West Coast? And he interrupted, nah, this not West Coast. West Coast is kind of my version of it, kind of what he said. So now you keep the same concepts and all of the formations, but you just put your spin on it. And I can get a little bit deeper after the break to tell you how I think it'll work. But I think that I think Aaron Rodgers really wants to get moving all this stuff behind him, all this just stuff about him changing plays and not – you have to get a yes man for him and all this kind of stuff. And you have to reinvent him and all. I think he wants to get all that behind him. So, you know, and I still think that having a quarterback's coach at this particular juncture – it's going to be key. Is that going to be Hackett? Is that going to be, you know, somebody else? You're going to have to bring in a quarterback's coach to be the buffer, to say, get your guy ready to go.
Well, in here, in the Rob Domofsky article, it does point to the fact that LaFleur and Hackett seem like they might just double-team that quarterback room and be the guy that is going with Aaron Rodgers.
I can't wait to see what this is going to be like.
To see if they do bring in somebody or they're going to deal with him on a day-in and day-out basis?
No, the whole workings of, you know, the setting up the offense, the setting up the room, setting the message,
everything.
Delivering
mm-hmm.
the message.
Practice schedule.
All that. I just can't
OTAs.
Wait. Just can't wait to see what that looks like.
I just can't wait to see some one-on-ones. Yeah. I mean, I know that sounds fat, but I just want to see some big dudes hitting each other.
They don't do that much anymore. You'll be surprised. Now, they do the 101s, where it's a pass rush, and the offense, they'll get down with that. But you'll be surprised what football
you're
looks
not thumping,
like.
not doing full on team 11-11.
I mean, they do it, but they playing ballerina or whatever.
Stop after three steps.
Yeah,
we used to think coach was ridiculous when he was telling us we're stopping after three steps.
Yeah,
but then you know,
doing it
when everyone's able to play week 10, 12, 13. It makes it a lot better.
Well, I mean, but you have a lot of that, too. Now, it's going off topic, but there's a lot of reason why the NFL the way it is right now, because you don't get a chance to hit. You don't get a chance to really work on your craft the way guys used to. And that's why you see a lot of missed tackles now in the NFL the way you do it.
I saw something, and I think we're going to talk about it next week sometime, about Sean McVay, especially if they make it to the Super Bowl, because there's going to be a lot written about Sean McVay getting these guys a lot of rest and the scaled-down practices that he's installed. They also are amongst the highest teams in free agency pickups. So I think that also the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, they are.
So they've been able to get in these high-priced free agents, a lot of it because of the scaled-down practices and eased-in training camp that they've tried
they don't play a
simulate
either.
Like that as well.
Yeah.
Jared Goff on a rookie deal as well. That helps, too.
10 seconds. You know, everybody wants to be the Sean McVay, wanted that kind of tree hiring.
I'd love it.
If Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl, the new thing next year and the year after will be get a retread in there like Andy Reid, who can bring some history and win a Super Bowl. Every time you win a Super Bowl, people take these trends. When Denver was defense, Seattle was defense.
Well, who's the retread?
Everybody's doing that.
Leroy.
I don't know who would it be.
McCarthy?
It may be slam dunk.
That's the
in
only
2020.
One.
You know, anybody who
Caldwell, something
who's
like
been
that,
around,
yeah.
been it could be Pagano too. In next, but Andy Reid, if he wins this Super Bowl with this kid. Well, that's what
I think they'll continue to raise the staff is what they do.
Well, that's why I wouldn't be in a hurry to hire a lot of assistants. I want some assistants on those four teams still playing.
Because it's been successful. Doug Peterson leaves that system, wins himself a Super Bowl. Matt Nagy, obviously, first year.
Oh,
gets
Doug
himself.
Will win another one.
Oh, they're going to win at least
Doug
two more.
Doug will win another
Especially
one.
When number 11 gets back in
they're,
there.
They're in a bad situation in Philadelphia.
Why? They just went to the playoff. Back
yeah, Carson
back.
Wentz ready to come back next year.
They got to get him fixed.
Baller.
Well, if not, keep Foles in
Carson
the
Wentz.
Carson Wentz is Aaron Rodgers Jr.
Yeah, he's an absolute freak show. You think he's got Brooklyn in sheets?
No.
If he does, any better.
You would think so at this point. If you want to have a good night's sleep, there's no other sheets to get at this point. Brook Linen Sheets. Spend a third of your life in your sheets. So if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, better sleep is a good place to start a new year, new you, new sheets. And to be honest with you, you should have already had these sheets. This shouldn't be breaking news to you for as much as we talk about Brook Linen Sheets.
You got new listeners though, Steve.
I know. I've been telling you guys about Brook Linen Sheets for quite a while now and just how much I love my Brook Linen Sheets. And you will too. Brook Linen Sheets named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. 30,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online bedding company. Brook Linen Sheets don't just feel amazing, but they look great too. You can mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. Plus, sheets are their bread and butter, but they also make towels, robes, and sleep masks, so you can add a splash of luxury to your daily routine. going into 2019. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. And now it's time for you to take advantage of a great deal that we have at Brooklinen.com. We're giving you an exclusive offer just for Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Steve at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Steve at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Steve. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Wendy's Big Show returns. You still got three more chances to win $1,000. Stay tuned. You got the fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh by Wendy's. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Glad you're with us. Driving home through the snowstorm. Make sure you take it slow on that way home. You got plenty of time. We still got an hour and a half of the Big Show. We'll keep you company. Don't worry about it. Don't go too fast. Make sure you're also stocked up. Get over to Pick and Save, as Leroy Butler would tell you to do, and warm yourself up this weekend and just sit down, watch a bunch of football, and dream about the Green Bay Packers and see exactly what they could do. There's going to be a lot of teams running the ball, Sparky, and Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett are planning on trying to do just the same thing. And are you buying the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to allow them to, even if it doesn't work out right off the bat? No? No?
No.
Not at all? Okay.
No, I don't have any faith that is going to work, because I think what Gary has said is right. Rodgers knows he's the best player in offense. He knows he wants to be the MVP, and he wants to win this football. And I think this all sounds like a great idea for the first couple of weeks, but eventually Rodgers is going to get antsy and want to start throwing this football. And if he gives Rodgers, and I'm assuming he will, the option to check out of plays at the line of scrimmage, to check out of a run to a pass, I'm assuming he's going to check out of a lot of runs to passes in order to throw the football. The reason Brady's okay with it, as Gary said, is because Brady gets numbers for every time he throws the ball to White in the flat. It's not a handoff. He's throwing it to White in the flat, so Brady makes money every time he throws the ball out there. So if that's what you're going to do, is throw the ball to Aaron Jones in the flat and say, that's our running game, then Rodgers will get down with that. Sure, absolutely. But if it's going to be straight handoffs and that's how we're going to do this, I don't think that's going to work.
Leroy, you buying any of this?
Yeah, because the conversation that these guys have had, they're going to be on point. Whatever's successful, he's going to let it. He's going to do it. He's going to do what the coach tells him to do.
LaFleur in the interview with ESPN Radio did mention he's talked to Aaron Rodgers multiple times about their game plan of attack.
You have to have that conversation based on all the reports you've seen. You have to have that conversation based on, you had a player that was in the huddle last year that said there were some issues. Now, whether they were good or bad, you have to find out what was the reason why you're under the same system, you're MVP twice, and you won a Super Bowl with this system. Now, all of a sudden, it didn't work down the stretch, and you were not in the playoffs the last 2 years, and then you have to self-scout. These guys have all had that. They've had that conversation. So with that being said, you got to let me coach, you play. We're going to get along great. But at the same time, we're going to go back to what works. And I think the biggest thing that a coach or a supervisor or a boss, when you listen to your people, you don't dictate so much. You know, you have to be, it has to be a democracy. You know, let's sit down, let's find out what's the best play you like. Here's what I like. And we start to construct the playbook. This will be the first time Aaron Rodgers will get an input. This would be something, Devontae Adams, these guys will get input on putting this play, you know, this playbook together. So it'll be firsthand knowledge when they get in at OTAs. It won't be any growing pains to learn the offense and all this kind of stuff, because these guys will get a chance to have their input. I think that's a brilliant way to do it. If you ask your guys what's going on out there, and hey, if it works, it works. We'll trial and error in practice. If it doesn't work, we'll pull it. I think Aaron wants the reset button. I mean, he has to. That was last year. That was McCarthy's stuff. That was Joe Philbin. This is a new Aaron Rodgers. He'll be energetic. He'll be excited to move on with Matt LaFleur to help this team get back to the playoffs. And real quick, there's nobody more upset than watching these four quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers. Because in his mind, he's better than these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm watching. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm watching, my fans are watching. So I'm going to let my fans know I'm going to do everything in my power to be one of these four quarterbacks next year in the conference championship. That's Aaron Rodgers' thinking. If it's not that, then LaFleur has to get his thinking the same way him and Hackett. until they can get a quarterback's coach.
And in that sense also, but here in the quote that I wanted to read, LaFleur on ESPN Radio said, certainly I want to be in that quarterback room as much as possible, and the goal is to be in there all the time. I realize as a head coach there's going to be things that will come up and that you have to take care of, but I entrust in Nathaniel Hackett and I have the same vision for the quarterback, and we will be on the same page. After Frank Cignetti gets fired, Gary, it sounds sounds to me like they are going to run the quarterback room, and there might not be a quarterback coach coming in.
You're a lot smarter what they give you. I'm serious. You picked up on something no media guy's ever picked up on in reading it. Because I know people have been saying this from Rob, but what you're saying that I was just talking about the quarterback's coach, you just nailed it. They're going to – Gary, this guy had a quarterback's coach. He had a coordinator. Then they have a passing coordinator. Mm-hmm. Then they had a third down coach. Then they had Philbin was calling play. This towards the end.
Are you talking about McCarthy?
They got – when McCarthy left too.
Well, yeah, they kept everybody.
They got all those guys, man, simplified.
They had layers.
Right.
So they had 2 minutes. You think what's going to happen?
Certainly I want to be in that quarterback room as much as possible, and the goal is to be in there all the time. I realize as the coach there's going to be things that come up, but I entrust that Hackett and I have the same vision for the quarterback and we'll be on the same page. To me, it sounds like Nathaniel Hackett and Matt LaFleur are going to handle the quarterback duties.
Correct. Mm-hmm. They're talking about not having a quarterback's coach.
That would have sounded like, don't it, Steve?
No, they've kind of hinted at it.
Hackett may be the buffer.
You have to have a quarterback's coach.
Now, you would want one.
Whatever you name him. Now, so in name, Matt LaFleur is the offensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy is the offensive coordinator.
Right, because he's calling the play.
Hackett can be the offensive coordinator, but it don't matter because he ain't calling. You could just give him.
The only reason these
guys get that title is because they can't get plucked by another team. They have to move up.
Sure.
Right.
So that's why they give these guys these titles.
Non-play calling coordinator.
So he could still be the offensive coordinator, but yet be the quarterback's coach.
I'm okay.
Because you got to have a quarterback's coach,
sure.
Right? You got to have a position player. I mean, that quarterback is the most. Yeah, I mean, but, you can't. But the Packers were trying to run 1 year without a receivers coach.
Yep. Right.
And that was all jacked up.
Well, Edgar Bennett was a receivers coach slash coordinator.
Right.
Because he was a coordinator. I mean, he was a wide receivers coach.
Right.
Then they elevated him.
Right.
And I was like, why don't they just pay another guy?
Right.
But then again, it's one more guy that's in the players' ears. Devontae Adams needs to talk to
They talked to Getsy yet?
Yeah, they're trying to get Getsy back.
So he's still sitting out there. He's calling plays down at Mississippi State. Yes. Yeah.
So he's still sitting out there.
So he'd have to leave that job and come back as wide receivers coach for the Packers.
Right. They need a wide receivers coach.
Well, they lost their wide receivers coach today. The guy they got from Indianapolis was there for a year, and I believe he went to Carolina now.
Yeah, they need a wide receivers coach. They got to get one.
Do you have a problem with Nathaniel Hackett, who's probably going to be designing a lot more of the game plan? Like you said, he's not going to be
You
got to
have a designer.
But if he is also the de facto quarterback's coach.
Yeah, that's fine.
De facto.
Yeah, because,
like that word?
Yeah, because here's what you got. The head coach, and I don't know how he's going to do his thing, but the head coach to me has to have someone with the quarterback doing those drills.
Right, exactly. Yep, I understand what you're saying.
He can't be hands-on. You know what I mean?
He's not wandering around making sure that they're checking on the receivers and the running backs.
Yeah,
LaFleur
will be the head coach, but he's also the offense coordinator. He need to be bouncing from receivers to quarterbacks.
I bet you LaFleur will be down there with the offensive line.
In individual.
I hope he is. I hope he is. He'd be my kind of guy then. Mike's in Greenfield. He's on the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Gentlemen, can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
we got you, Mike.
What's going on, my brother?
I'm going to say ditto to what Leroy said.
What did Leroy say? Marcus
is going to give it some time. He's aware of what people, he got some bad rap that he was a problem child or he was, this or that, but he's going to give a chance to work. It's easy for Brady because Belichick stays fresh. You know, he still pulls trick plays, and he keeps the guys interested. And Brady's got, what, 5 rings? He's successful. Who wouldn't love the guy? Plus what he does to the media, I'm sure the players like that. I think Rodgers will buy into it, at least in the beginning, and I'm hopeful that just having a young innovator is going to work out good. Rodgers is willing to use whatever system they're going to have, I hope.
Yeah, I think
Mike, appreciate it, brother.
Mike laugh at the end.
Yeah, we all hope.
You hear him chuckle.
That's my guy, Mike.
Aaron is bought in. He's bought in, and we'll see how – I think he'll have fun with it because he's going to get a chance to pretty much do everything he wants to do. And I think that's a good thing about Matt LaFleur's system. It's going to be what are you good at? That's what we're going to do.
Right.
Jamal, you want to run that off tackle? We'll run some off tackle plays. Aaron Jones, you like that split divide where you can pick your hole? We'll do that. You know, we'll go max protection sometimes. We'll use everything that everybody's good at so you can just hit the field and don't think and just play. That's why he got the job.
I know your memory's going, but I have a question for you, Leroy.
You better hurry. What's your name? Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Are
my
you
point.
Baby Todd?
Yeah, don't worry.
Hey, baby Todd, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Good, man.
Back when Holmgren came in, mm-hmm. That first year, yeah. You know, you look at that coaching tree, he had a lot of those guys that wanted to become head coaches.
Yep.
But were they as young as what this staff is going to be on offense? I mean, we're talking about 39, 39, 35. This just seems crazy young to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, that's what people want.
Well, Gruden was.
Gruden was riding on. Well,
where's that picture?
The one there on the stairs.
Yeah. Remember that's the old office, Leroy, to go to the
Nolan
stairs.
Nolan Cromwell was our special teams coach. He was young.
Everybody thought he was going to be a head coach.
And yeah, I think for the most part, Holmgren wasn't a big splash guy, but that's when San Francisco, he was their coordinator when they went to the Super Bowl. But some of these guys were seasoned, though. Some of them were seasoned. He had a good mixture. You know, the Andy Reese and, you know, the Mariucci's of the world. Those guys were – it was a good mixture. And I think the reason why we won, because we went out and got a retread at defensive coordinator Fritz Schirmer. Fritz Schirmer had been around since the dinosaurs. But he came in, and he said, wait a minute, I got Roy Butler, Reggie White, Sean Jones, Gilbert Brown, Santana Dot. I don't need to do a lot. What do you guys want to do? I'm going to sit and put it on cruise control. But that was a good question, Steve, about the age. At that point, it was so bad in the 80s and 90s. At that point, they wanted a young, up-and-coming guy, and it was Holmgren, but they wanted that system. He was the most veteran of the system from the Bill Walsh people by him being the coordinator. So what got him that job was putting up numbers to where, you know, Roger Craig got 1,000 yards rushing, so was Ratman. You know, Brent Jones had 1,000. Then Jerry Rice had 1,500. Taylor had 1,500. But they were spreading it around. We wanted that pedigree in the building.
We have to get to Sports Flash. But, Gary, how much research did you ever do into assistant coaches that was your position coach or whatever the case may be when you were a player?
No. Y'all didn't have no internet.
There was no internet.
Yeah, they
so you had nothing.
Word of mouth.
Dude, listen, we were so bad. Forrest brought a guy. Look him up. Google him.
You were so bad.
His name was John Hilton.
They had
Forrest
they had
brought
the
in this guy.
With a string on it.
Hey, Forrest brought guy? This guy in. His name was John Hilton.
Former tight end.
He had sold insurance the year before,
nice.
And he made him our position coach.
Nice.
Are you kidding me?
That was nice of him.
What's wrong with insurance?
He played the NFL now.
Everybody need insurance.
I mean, we were awful. The guy the year before
he played
the guy,
9 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
Former military guy.
Yeah.
He's dead now.
Is he?
Whoops.
Yeah, he sold insurance, Steve, the year before he came to us. The guy that we have, his name was George Selfsick, he's also dead. George Selfsick was my running back coach my rookie year. But George, because then they got rid of I forget our offensive coordinator. What was Bob last name?
It doesn't matter. He's
Bob
dead,
was,
too.
He is dead. And he was also a football player. But Bob was very, very creative in the long game. Mm-hmm. We ran the Oakland Raiders offense my rookie year.
I mean, can't think of that dude's
name
either.
They were throwing the ball down the field to James Lofton almost all the time. And then Forrest fired Bob. They made George Sefcik the offensive coordinator, and we brought in the option game, which is a offshoot of the – what's your thing?
The running shoe?
No, it was what you guys
did. Wing tee?
No, what Holmgren was doing.
Oh, the West Coast.
West Coast was an offshoot of the West Coast, so it was about running backs coming out of the backfield, getting matchups, throwing the ball like 4 or 5 yards. I mean, that. And then they tried to bring in some coaches, and they didn't have enough coaches. It was
Bob Schnelker.
Bob Schnelker. He was awesome. But they let him go after my But that's how bad we were, though. I mean, our coaches.
What year was your first year? 83?
Could have been, no.
Before that?
No, after that.
79?
No.
78?
84, maybe 85, somewhere in there.
I didn't realize Monty Kiffin was on that Packers coaching staff in 83, linebackers.
No, he wasn't there when I was there.
85.
85, there you go. Monty Kiffin wasn't there when I was there. You, Monty Kiffin was there when you were there?
No.
Dick Geron now.
He was.
That's who drafted me.
Yeah. Tom Coughlin?
Yeah, Dick Geron. Tom Coughlin was on the other side. But Dick, well, I had this other guy, Dick Mojuleski, I think he might be dead.
Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was defensive coordinator.
I remember him.
For a minute. Dick Mojuleski was on the seven blocks of granite, I believe.
Wow, way back.
Every time we bring this dude up,
you know
he
who
says
the
that.
Seven blocks of granite is?
Single time.
That's does. The offensive line that Vince Lombardi played on.
I think so. I'm not really sure.
He should put that in the sports flash. Mojuleski.
You never know.
Look up Mojuleski. See if he's over.
Yeah, put that in the sports
flash. You got to see Harvey.
We'll have it in the sports flash if he's alive.
On seven blocks. I think he played. Did he play at Notre Dame? Or?
I don't know if that fits in the sports flash. I'll come back with it.
Mojuleski. I think he was one of the guys.
You hear them guys. Bob's been dead for 20 years.
You see one of the pictures of guys on the horse, Leroy? One of the four horsemen or whatever. You know, seven blocks of granite, four horsemen, you know, kind of guys. Because I go way back, man.
No, glad, way back.
That's I'm glad the four horsemen. Got rid of his hives.
The four horsemen. You mean the four horsemen?
He said Ric Flair.
With Ric Flair.
No, Arn man, Anderson. I'm talking about football, man. I ain't talking about no Tully. Wrestling. Who?
Nothing.
Tully?
Nothing.
Was Tully on
Robert's specialty meats, Sparky.
Come on, Steve.
Oh, yeah, Robert's specialty meats. They don't have a transition. We get forecast. Calls for snow, and as you can see, it is snowing out, and the conference hall games are on Sunday. So make sure the food you're serving up on your family's dinner table is only the best in quality meats from Robert's Specialty Meats.
The smoker still works.
Tell you what, I already went and got jerky and beef sticks and everything else all ready for this
weekend. Oh, you're stocked up. You don't have to get out.
Paul Roberts has lots of options for comfort food, starting with their Al Capone Italian pork roast, combining several meats, cheeses, and seasonings into one awesome meal, which can be trimmed to suit your needs. You also find several varieties of fresh stuffed chicken breast at Roberts. And for watching the football games this weekend, make sure to have plenty of the ribs on a stick on hand. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce and easy to heat up in just minutes. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT. 262-549-MEAT for the best selection. When you visit, make sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons for the best in meats. Shop Robert Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
We'll preview the NFC Championship games, Saints and Rams, and these guys are going to help me make some money. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan till 6 o'clock. Snowmageddon coming in, already coming down. It's about an inch down there already, it appears, as we look out of our beautiful windows here in the studios.
Drive slowly.
Yeah, and put the cell phones down, none of that. Slow, methodical. If you got four-wheel drive, good luck. Congratulations. That helps out. Tom Oates coming up from the Wisconsin State Journal, as we all want to talk about Paul Chris getting a five-year contract extension and getting that renewed at the University of Wisconsin. Gary, we talk about the history that they have in the University of Wisconsin. Paul Chris continuing it with the graduation rate just as high as it's ever been at Wisconsin. I know the wins weren't necessarily where people had expected them to be for Paul Chris this year, but the graduation rate still is at an all-time high. So for the Badgers in that sense, and we
stupid.
Talk about
it, just
still
stop.
Right there.
It's
right
stupid. There. Giving on. This dude a five-year extension for what? For what?
Beating Miami twice?
Listen, I like Paul Chris.
Yeah, right,
pretty much. I get down on Paul Chris. I understand that. But a five-year extension? You got this dude through January of 2024. Yeah. Did he deserve a five-year extension?
Well, he's got to have 5 years to play with Graham Mertz.
Graham Mertz won't be here 5 years.
Where are you going to be?
Pros in three.
Shoot.
Pros in three.
He ain't that boy from Clemson.
Write it down. Pros in three.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't going to do what he did as a freshman. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying after his junior year, he'll be draft eligible. He's gone. That's what I'll say. 3 years out.
He'll be there 4 years, cuz.
And I'll tell you right now, if he is 3 years
and
out.
And I'll tell you right now, he might get redshirted next year.
Well, then they ought to fire Paul Chris. 3 years and out. That's what it should be. This isn't even. Hornibrook? No. Not interested. I told you that before. Jack Cohen's seen enough. Don't need to see that anymore either. Just give Graham Mertz the job and be done with it.
You need to stop, man. Killing me, dude.
What's your
who we got on the phone?
Tom Oates from Wisconsin State Journal. Tom Old George is on
the... keep doing this all the time, Steve.
I don't care.
Great Midwest Bank hotline. Stevie, why don't you just ask Tom Oates what you just exclaimed would happen here?
Graham Mertz. I say he's out in 3 years in the NFL draft. Gary says they may just redshirt him this year. What do you say?
I'll give you a much better idea when I actually see him on the practice field.
Thank you, Oatsy.
I think we have a whole bunch of people that are jumping the gun on this. Is he a promising guy? Is he a promising quarterback? Absolutely. Is he, from what I saw a little bit of him in that All-Star game, I think he's got beautiful touch on the ball, looks like a big, strong kid. So, you never know. The jump from high school to college football is unbelievable. And I think the kid from Clemson didn't do anybody around here any favors by being a
folks think it's easy, Oatsy. Folks think just because they see that boy at Clemson that Mertz going to come in and do the same thing. It's hard. Right. It's not that easy.
No, it's not that easy. And, last I checked, he had a lot of pretty good talent around him there at Clemson.
Did.
I think you're going to find that out in the NFL draft. But that Lawrence kid, Mertz is coming in. He's going to go through spring ball. So I fully suspect he'll be in the mix to start. But if he doesn't start right away or he doesn't start at all as a freshman, people are going to be really disappointed. And I just don't think they know that all that goes into playing quarterback at the major college level.
This is what I know. I know Hornibrook's not going to win you a damn thing. That much I do know at this point.
Miami in the Orange Bowl.
So what? So we've seen Hornibrook. We know what that is. Jack Cohen. Now maybe Jack Cohen improves.
Jack Cohen beat Miami in the pinstripe. So Oatsy was there.
Leroy could too.
So Oatsy, were you the pinstripe bowl?
I was at the pinstripe. I was at both of those bowl games.
See that?
What does that mean?
Well, no. Let's just say this. I think Jack Cohen. I think Hornibrook is severely limited by his lack of movement skills. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's as good as he's ever going to get. There were certain games where he got good protection, where he was pretty decent throwing the ball, and then there were other games when he didn't get protection, where he couldn't escape the pocket. He threw threw lame duck passes because he couldn't get his feet back underneath them, things like that. I think you're right if you say that Hornibrook is maxed out. I think this was the year they thought he was going to take a step up, and he didn't. And that leads you to believe that maybe he's as good as he's ever going to get. I think Cohn came from a small school out on Long Island and played in a small school league. And I think there's a huge learning curve there. But I think fundamental athleticism with Jack Cohn, I think, is there. I think he's got a good arm. I think he's got a quick release. And I think he has pretty good feet. You saw they even put in some option plays for him in the bowl game. So I wouldn't write off Jack Cohn at this stage.
Uh-oh.
He played an awful lot of his first three games were at Penn State, at Northwestern, and I think at Purdue.
Yeah, he was in that Purdue game.
It was three road games against good bowl-bound Big Ten teams and a couple of pretty good defenses. So, to write a kid off based on that, I think it's just foolish. Now, does he have a long way to go? Absolutely. But, I wouldn't write him off yet. And Danny Vandenboom's extremely smart. I don't know if he's got the arm for it, but he's a UNIVAC. That's an old school computer reference, by the way.
Yeah, UNIVAC.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember the old UNIVAC. Google that, guys.
He's a really sharp kid, and they got another young guy, Chase Wolf.
Yeah, Chase, whatever. Chase, we don't count him.
He kind of looked like Scott Tolzien kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
Not a big kid, but looked like he had some skills and some smarts and some savvy. So if people think Graham Mertz is going to come in here and be an All-American from day one, I think they're going to be sorely disappointed.
No, I don't think
any quarterback can do that.
I don't think that's the case either. But what I do think is I think he gives you the best opportunity to get to where you want to be in, say, 3 years. And I just, for me, and going back to what you were talking about, I just think you're just wasting a year if Hornibrook goes back into that starting role. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I would say this. I think we've all seen quarterbacks at any level of football who got thrown in early, too early, got their confidence shattered, and never became the quarterback you thought they could be. And to throw him out there and expect him to do stuff with all a quarterback has to do now in terms of switching plays at the line and run pass options and pass protections and all that kind of stuff.
More bone to pick with you.
I do?
Yeah. What's the head coach name? Paul
Chris. Oh, Chris.
Go ahead and give to him, Steve.
We didn't even bring you on to talk about football. This is a crazy thing. We brought you on to talk about the basketball
team. We can do it all. Go ahead. Give him by Paul Chris. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, me personally, I wouldn't have given him a 5-year contract extension. I don't know why
Steve
5 years.
Steve wanted to know why the hell you gave Paul Chris 5 years.
Well, not Tom Oates.
Oates didn't give it to him.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Would you give him a 5-year contract as the offensive coordinator after 2010 and 2011? When they averaged 44 points a game over those 2 years?
When he was the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Maybe. I wasn't all that heartbroken when he went to Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. And I wasn't all that excited when he came back.
You didn't like that Scott Tolzien senior year offense?
Oh, no, it was good. It was
that Russell Wilson offense? You didn't like those offenses?
Well, Russell Wilson was a hell of a quarterback.
The Kansas City Chiefs?
But wait a second. Let's not act like Paul Chris made Russell Wilson. I mean, let's not go that far. But what I'm saying is,
let's just say this. Russell Wilson expressly came here because he knew it would be a better avenue for him to get to NFL football playing in Paul Chris' offense than where he was.
Sure.
That's exactly why he came here.
Absolutely, and I get that.
And that's exactly what happened.
But that doesn't justify giving him a 5-year contract now.
Everybody wants to jump the gun so quick.
I know, man.
Settle down. They had horrible quarterbacking all year and had a disappointing season. Well, if you get horrible quarterbacking all year, you're going to have a disappointing season.
But I thought you said he was in charge of the quarterbacks.
He is.
Well, that's his responsibility then.
Yeah, well, every kid doesn't develop.
Right, exactly.
Bo Ryan, the greatest developer of talent supposedly of all time, had kids that never developed a lick. It all depends on the kid.
That leads us into our next question. Go ahead, Steve. Get him by Greg Gard. Go ahead, Steve. OC, just so you know, Steve do wish you a happy belated birthday, okay?
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
All right, Steve, go ahead and get him.
Man, I like Tom Oates. You're making this like me versus Oates.
Go ahead and get him by Gard.
Oh, you know I love you. I don't know about these
transition. Go ahead and get him, Steve.
Well, basketball program doesn't look all that good to me right now at this point in time, but everybody else says the same thing. But this is what I asked the other night on Twitter, and we'll see what you think. Is this just a normal Badger funk that they're in, or is there more of a concern than that?
Well, I think there's a concern. I wouldn't label it a heavy concern. I think they have a pretty good team, and you see that when they play well. The problem with them is they can't get any consistency to playing well. They have 15-point halves, and then they have 50-point halves. I think this is a team that needs a point guard, and it's not getting the kind of direction. You know, when the offense starts to fail, you have that's when a point guard takes over and makes things happen and gets to the rim or gets others to the rim or gets others wide open shots. And I don't see that happening with this. They're not penetrating from up top.
You're saying there's a talent deficiency there, OC? Is that you saying that?
There's just no consistency there.
We're talent.
And, you know, I mean, Ethan Happ's a terrific player. But, you know, this isn't a team that really fits together that well. When you have Ethan and Khalil Iverson on the floor together, you have two non-shooters. And in modern basketball, I mean, you guys watch the Bucks. I mean, they're launching threes all over the place.
Yeah.
And in modern basketball, Marquette's the same way. You know, you need a lot of three-point shooters. And that's why I think you'll see Kobe King start to play more. I think you'll see maybe Pritzel start to play more. They need some of these.
Oh, see, them guys ain't no good, man. Them guys ain't no good, man. OC. They don't have any talent.
Is your friend, Steve.
OT.
Kobe King?
Man, you see Kobe
King's going to be a very good player
when?
By the time he hangs him up.
When?
You mark my words.
When?
You remember I said that.
When, OT? When?
He said before he's done, before he graduates.
I I think it's a confidence issue with him. I think he's on the court with a bunch of older players, and he's deferring to everybody. You see it a lot in basketball, and he's not asserting himself a lot. I mean, they're telling him,
for the love of God, you couldn't score 15 points and a half. How the hell is he deferring to anybody if he's that good at this point?
That's the way teams work. Sorry.
Oh, see, I apologize.
I'm just saying.
Oh, see, I apologize. You have to go through these guys, man.
Defer to older players. It's just the way it works.
But I'm just saying, if you're Greg Gard and your offense stinks the way it's stunk for a couple of games here, if Kobe King is that much of a playmaker and can do this, then don't you just turn to Kobe King and go, dude, just go see what you can do. We can't score with anybody else on this damn roster anyhow. Just go see what happens.
I'm pretty sure that's why he played 27 minutes the last game.
Yeah, he did.
And what happened?
Okay. So Greg Gard's not stupid. He understands what's going on here. And he played Kobe King, and the second half, Kobe King played most of the second half, which was one of their better offensive halves of the season. So, you know, again, you jump the gun while this team is sorting things out, and, you know, there's no patience anymore.
Tom, I've never had patience.
Hey, Osi, one last thing. Steve ain't going to say this. I'm going to go ahead and say Steve ready for Greg Gard to be fired.
Oh, no, he's not.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
If they do fire him, I know who I want. That's all I said. I didn't
Is Greg Gard on the hot seat, Osi?
I do not think he's on the hot seat. I think, you know, he has to start producing, but I don't think that's any different than any other coach.
Right.
He's done some terrific work, especially late in the season, every year, and it's going to be interesting to see if this team can come on late in the season like Bo Ryan's teams often did and Greg Gard's teams have done even last season. As bad as they were, they closed pretty strong. So, you know, it's a matter of sorting things out, getting the right people in the right places, and getting young guys some confidence, and much better to judge them at the end of the season than in early or mid-January.
I'm being Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's agent, and last thing Steve wants to know is,
what is this?
About Iverson. He wants to know why the hell Iverson ain't as good as he should be. What's wrong with him?
He arrived with a very poor shot, very flat, very unorthodox, and that really hasn't changed.
Yeah,
and
Steve wants to know why.
Getting kids to change their shots is very difficult. They have trouble with Ethan Happ, who has about five different people telling him how to shoot free throws, it's not as easy as you think these days, because players have a lot of different people in their ear talking to them, and it's not as easy as it always is. It's too bad, because, you know, early on, you assume that Khalil Iverson would improve his shot. Now,
right,
anybody that thinks that's not for lack of effort on the coach's part or on Khalil's part just doesn't understand how it works, because he's been working. And I'll go back to what I said before, maybe about Alex Hornibrook. Sometimes, you know, you think every player is going to improve, but that's not always the case.
Sometimes they just don't have it. Yeah.
Look at Alex Ntilikina. Alex Ntilikina didn't make it get any better. Other guys that they recruited, just like him, have gotten better. Yeah. And, you know, it gets back to the individual. Is there a lot of room for improvement? It's too bad. I mean, Khalil Iverson actually can hit a 15-footer pretty well. He doesn't shoot a lot of them. But, you know, if he had developed an offensive game, think what a good player he'd be. I mean, he plays defense. He can jump. He's explosive around the rim, and he rebounds and all that stuff. But, you know, his shot just hasn't developed. Ethan Hatch's shot just hasn't developed. And I would say, you know, I mean, I've seen all the work that's been put in, or at least in the glimpses we get to see them. I've seen it, and it's not for lack of effort. Trust me.
We don't have Tom Holtz on nearly enough.
No, we don't. Last one, OC. They play Michigan.
Can you ask another question for Sparky?
Yeah. No, this is for me.
Yeah, right.
This is for me. OC, they play Michigan tomorrow, right?
They play Michigan tomorrow.
They beat Michigan tomorrow.
Not a chance.
Yes.
No.
Well,
OC, you there?
If they beat Michigan tomorrow,
they do.
you know, I think they should give Gard a 5-year contract. No, no, I'm kidding. It wouldn't surprise me to see them.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. That's what they do.
I think they have a decent team, and if they would find some consistency, they actually played with more consistency right out of the gate, and they beat some pretty good teams, Oklahoma and North Carolina State, and I mean teams that are ranked. And if they would find some consistency, I think this has a chance to be a pretty good team, a fourth, fifth place team in the Big Ten, and a fifth, five, six seed in the NCAA tournament. But they have to find some consistency.
Now, real quick,
they've lost a couple of home games they couldn't afford to lose.
Real quick,
now they're behind the eight ball.
Oh, so real quick, we're going to let you go because tomorrow they're celebrating something unique and special tomorrow at that game, aren't they?
Yep, the class, the 88-89 team that went to the NIT. It was Wisconsin's first postseason bid in 42 years. They just missed the NCAA tournament. The guys you might remember off that team were Trent Jackson and Danny Jones, who are still two of the all-time leading scorers in school history, and they're going to honor that. It's the 30-year anniversary of that team. So, actually had lunch with Trent today. So, great bunch of guys, and I think it'll be fun. They have a video they're going to play at halftime that I think people will really like.
Well, everyone just enjoyed that last 15 minutes that you were on here with Tom Oates. I appreciate you getting peppered by Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's agent on the Wisconsin Badgers. Tom, we appreciate you on here.
I want to know how you got a spokesman, man. I got to get one of those.
Well, Royal said he'll be your spokesman for you.
That'd work for me.
That would be a good one to have. That's a good one to have. Tom will be reading.
Pleasure,
we appreciate
guys.
It, man.
Right, thanks, Oates.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com. You follow him on Twitter at Tom Oates, WSJ. I don't know what just happened for the last 20 minutes. That was a lot of fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.